Chapter 12.
"Hold on," Abigail said. She used one hand to balance herself against Adam and the other to remove her shoe. She turned it over and, with a shake, liberated three large pebbles. She repeated the action on the other foot, muttering, "These shoes are worthless. They have holes in the sides." Adam held out his hand. "Let me see."
His movement disrupted her balance, and she hopped twice on one foot before steadying herself with her unclad foot in the dirt.
"Why did you do that? Now my sock is all dirty."
"Sorry, I didn't mean to—"
"Just give me the shoe."
She snatched it from his hand and with a couple more hops, shoved it on. They resumed walking, and it wasn't long before another of Earth's little irritants made its way into her footwear. She started to bend down again, and her satchel swung down in front of her face. She grimaced and turned her face away.
"Ugh."
She jerked the bag open, took hold of the Stay Alert booklet, and crammed it further down into the bag.
"Isn't there something we can do about the smell of that book? It's giving me a headache."
Adam stopped and faced her. "Want to tell me what's going on?"
"What do you mean? The book smells, and my shoes are..."
Adam folded his arms. Abigail picked at the clasp on her bag. Then she sighed.
"I don't know. I'm just not in a great mood. I don't know why. Maybe it's hormones. Can we just..."
She nodded forward, and they resumed walking. Before long, she noticed a blackberry plant to the side of the path. She dropped a step or two behind Adam. After he passed it, she glanced to the sides and behind, then quickly stooped and picked a berry.
"Probably shouldn't have done that," she thought. "But it won't be a problem. I'm not going to eat it. I don't even feel tempted."
She rolled the little bundle of juice between her fingers as she walked.
"Everyone around here eats all the fruit they want. Berries and grapes are my only vice, mostly. The ruler will understand. I just walked through that whole grove without caving. I've done so well. I deserve one guilty pleasure, especially after all I've been through."
A breeze wafted through the field and her bangs fell in front of her eyes.
"Who am I kidding? Fruit is fruit. Disobedience is always wrong."
She rolled the blackberry again.
"Why does this have to be so hard?"
She swatted at the tuft of hair in her eyes and missed, scratching her face.
"I don't think anyone understands what it's like for me."
The breeze gusted again. Those words, the ones that had just run through her mind, they were... She tucked the blackberry in a pocket and fished the Stay Alert book from her pack. She flipped to where she had left off. Yes, there it was. All of it. First, the irritability of a hungry soul deprived of real food. Then, rationalization for getting close to the fruit. Then, thinking it's probably wrong, leaving the door open with the word probably. Then, an arrogant confidence that I can handle it, combined with self-pity. She turned the page. The next heading was curiosity. The paragraph began, "Whisper to the subject. I wonder if this is a sweet one. I could take just a tiny little taste. That wouldn't count as eating fruit." She read on. Then after the taste, "Well, I've already blown it now. I might as well just finish off the whole bunch and try to do better tomorrow." She closed the book.
"I've fallen for these strategies so many times. I shouldn't need a book to warn me of it."
She stopped short.
"Adam, did you see that?"
"What?" Backing up a few steps, she pointed.
"I think it's right up there, straight ahead."
Adam joined her retreat as he squinted to see. They both jumped when a flock of quail sprayed up from the grass 50 yards ahead.
That same moment, a huge lion sprang from his hiding place.
Abigail hurled the berry as far as she could heave it and reached for Adam's sword.
"No," he said. "Fight when you have to. Run when you can." They spun, breaking for the south end of the meadow where they had entered. Abigail knew her deformities would slow her, but she didn't think it would be this bad. For Adam, the pace was little more than a brisk walk, but she was thankful he still stayed between her and the charging beast. A glance over her shoulder sent chills down her spine,
The lion was closing fast.
Looking forward, Abigail slid to a stop. Alexander stood directly before them, holding a thick iron bar.
"Don't stop," Adam shouted. He pointed to the west. "That way."
She turned sharply to her right. Alexander started toward her, but Adam intercepted him.
"Out of my way,"
Alexander demanded. Then Adam pulled his leather belt from his pack and tied it around his waist. He ran his fingers over the familiar engraved lettering. Mirror Room, Blood Room, Promise Room, Room of Delights. The belt stiffened. Then all his clothes became as impenetrable as armor, complete with a helmet. As Adam squared off with the little soul, the lion lunged, clamping his jaws on Adam's shoulder. The impact knocked Adam to the ground, but the lion yelped and ran off.
What in the world? Did he crack a tooth, or...
Alexander sneered.
"You think the father will be satisfied with this lame rescue effort? You failed!"
As Adam regained his feet, Alexander charged, ramming his shoulder into Adam's chest. With feet made nimble by the belt, Adam cut to the side and watched Alexander's flailing body glance off his chest and tumble into the dirt. "My father is pleased with me, not because of how well I perform, but because of what he did in the blood room." Alexander recovered quickly and came at Adam with his bar. He swung the weapon with both hands, smashing it against the side of Adam's helmet.
"It's because of you that Abigail was captured to begin with. Nothing you could ever do will make up for the damage you've done."
The blow brought Adam to one knee, but only stunned him. He stood. "I don't have to make up for anything. The damage I've done has been forgiven. All of it. Forever." Alexander stared, wide-eyed, at the bend Adam's helmet had just put in his iron weapon. Adam drew his sword and pressed it to Alexander's throat. "You elevate your knowledge of this world above the word of the one who made it. You use the wind of your own mouth to deny the existence of wind. And you speak of the laws of cause and effect while claiming all existence had no cause." Alexander scoffed.
"Even if I don't know the first cause, that doesn't make the myths of the cottage true. Don't you see, Adam? Those teachings were made up by people who talked themselves into believing in a world they want to be true, and you accept it on blind faith."
"I accept it because of incontrovertible proof. The creation, prophecy, the ruler recovering from death blows in the blood room. Given the evidence, it is your doubt, not my faith, that is irrational." Alexander pushed the sword away, rolled, and came to his feet. Adam lunged. "You accuse us of forcing reality to fit what we want to believe, but who does that more than you?"
"What are you talking about?"
"Your beliefs on morality, for one. You believe right and wrong are defined by whatever feels right or wrong to you. How convenient! Of all the countless people in the world with differing ideas of morality, you are the ones who happen to be born with feelings about right and wrong that match reality perfectly? And right and wrong just so happen to fit hand in glove with whatever you like or don't like? That sounds to me like the definition of someone who believes what he wants to believe." Flat on his back, Alexander flailed to shield himself from the unrelenting blows of Adam's sword. "You're betting your eternal existence on a gamble that there is no final justice. No creator you'll have to answer to. No judgment day. You're so sure there won't be eternal consequences for any of the evil things you've done. How fortunate for you. Tell me, what empirical test did you run to prove all this? What observation did you make of this world to verify the non-existence of things beyond this world?" Alexander countered with only a hateful scowl. "Since you won't speak, I'll tell you the answer. You believe all this nonsense because you imagine it gives you freedom. Freedom to live the way you want. Freedom from the laws of the ruler. But can't you see? You're not free. You're enslaved to your own stomach. You submit to the tyranny of the god of your appetite. Every morning you bow to the trough. And for what? Moments of pleasure followed by emptiness, regret,
and a pointless life.
Adam stood over his defeated foe, heartbroken, wishing Alexander would come to his senses.
Perhaps he will one day.
He placed some cottage pieces in Alexander's limp hand.
I hate this fighting, but Abigail should be safe by now.
A quarter mile west of the meadow, Abigail cowered. Her back against a cliff, the lion blocked her only way of escape. Saliva dripped from his mighty jaws as he closed on her.
If only I had taken the sword!
She scanned the ground for a stone, a branch, anything. The monstrous creature seemed to be grinning as he crept closer. She forgot to breathe. Even her shaking stopped as paralysis overtook her. She squeezed her eyes shut and awaited her fate.